We're so thankful that he is able to fill in the pulpit and preach and deliver God's word. And he has been on fire lately, and we're thankful for that. So, brother, you smoke him.
Good to see everyone this evening. Those that are visiting, it's especially good to see you. And it's good to see Ron and Helen back. So turn with me to Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50. In the first 40 chapters of Isaiah, Isaiah is prophesying about captivity that would take place during his lifetime, during some persecution of Israel. And in the last 26 chapters there, the remainder of the book, he is prophesying about the Babylonian captivity that was 150 years approximately after his lifetime. And so, you know, you wonder sometimes why God, as Pastor mentioned on Wednesday night with Habakkuk there, why God allows things to happen. You know, it's bad enough to have to see and know the things that are about to come to pass that is revealed to Isaiah. But even beyond that, the Lord reveals to him a lot of great and terrible things that will come upon the people he loves and the nation of Israel that he would not be alive to see. But we'll see here in chapter 50, we're going to look at verses 3 and 4, and then verses 10 and 11. If you would stand in the honor of the reading of the Word of God, if you're able to. If not, that is okay. But we're going to preach a message, attempt to, this evening, entitled, Walking in Darkness. Walking in Darkness. Verse number 3, Isaiah 50 says, I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. And then drop down to verse 10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness, and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire and compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand. Ye shall lie down in sorrow. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we come to you again this evening, seeking your help, Lord, that we realize that we can do nothing without you, and neither do we desire to, Lord. And I know at this moment I desire not to waste these dear people's time, nor waste your time, but honestly, Lord, we desire to edify one another, to encourage one another, to strengthen one another, but most of all, to lift your name on high, to bring glory and honor to your name. And Lord, I pray that if that is to be done, it's going to have to be done through the power of the Holy Spirit, through you speaking through this vessel, as weak as it may be. Forgive me, Lord. Cleanse me from any way that would hinder you speaking here tonight. And we'll be careful to give you the praise and the glory for it. Help us to retain the things that we have studied and to present them in a clear and concise manner that is understood, and that your Holy Spirit would take those words and empower them to your people. And in Jesus' name I pray. And amen. You may be seated. Walking in darkness. And you remember in our Sunday school lesson, we talked about 1 John there. He that walketh in the light and is a saved person, but those that walk in the darkness, a lot of times referencing the lost. But here, notice what he says there in verse 10, who is among you that feareth the Lord? Who is it that fears the Lord? Is it the lost? No, it should be the saved people that fear the Lord. Notice what he says there, that obeyeth the voice of his servant. Who is it that obeys the Lord? in the voice of His servant. Is it not the saved? Is it not the Christian that do those things? But notice the next statement here, that walketh in darkness and hath no light. So it's not talking about the darkness of being lost. It's talking about dark times, difficult times, hard times that come upon each and every one of us. And there's time of darkness that we will all experience or have experienced. And there's times when nothing seems to make sense. You know, and I'm reminded of Habakkuk, who's pastor. We're in that book on Wednesday nights. That's where Habakkuk was. The Lord had given him a vision, showed him some things, and he was taken back. Nothing seemed to make sense to him. It didn't seem what he knew of God and by God's nature, what he was hearing from the Lord didn't seem real to him. But nonetheless, he knew it was. And so our natural response to difficult times is to ask one question, a three-letter word generally that we ask when difficult times come. Why? Why? Why is this happening? Or why me? Or why? But you know, the thing that you look through Scripture that we can learn from, that why question, many times we don't get the answer to it. That why belongs unto the Lord. That is, God knows the answer to that. You know what our question should be rather in difficult times rather than why? Should be how. How should I respond? Lord, how do you want me to respond? How should I behave in this time? How am I going to respond? And what we do when we fall, what do we do when we fall into moments or periods of darkness in difficult times? What do we do when the lights go out? What do we do when everything around us seems to not make any sense? Some of you may have went through some experiences in your life that's put you into a state like this. Some of you may have lost a loved one, or a great many things that can take place in our life that bring moments of darkness. But God is the author of those things. He allows those things to happen. And we should ask the Lord and seek the Lord's direction of how to respond in a way that would be pleasing to Him in those things. So I want to just bring a few things to our mind tonight with the Lord's help. But number one, it is sometimes sin that causes darkness or difficult times in our lives, and many times it is. But there's also times that God, for other purposes, allows difficult times, dark times to come in our lives. So number one, those of greatest devotion may experience some of the deepest darkness. Even those who walk closely with God will experience darkness. You know, in our day and time, there's a gospel being preached that says once you come to the Lord, once you get to know Jesus Christ, that everything is going to be all right. There's not going to be any difficult times, that life's a bed of roses. And the Lord warned exactly opposite of that, didn't He? He warned those that would take that were going to follow Him. He said, you know, you don't know what you're getting into. The Son of Man don't even have a place to lay His head. He uses a stone for a pillow. The Lord had it really, really difficult in this life. And the Bible says that the servant is no greater than the master. So how do you think we will have it? But sometimes even those who walk closely to God will experience times of darkness. Remember Job? The Bible says that Job was a man who feared God and eschewed evil, a perfect and upright man. And yet Job had some periods of darkness that probably none of us can even imagine come upon his life. There. And God sent that darkness into his life, into Job's path. And you remember what Job said? I think it was Job 25 when he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Job understood who God was. Remember Habakkuk, as we mentioned there in chapter 1, he was kind of flexed and said, God, where are you? And God spoke to him and told him what he was going to do. And God was going to use the Babylonians, the wicked Babylonians, to judge the nation of Israel. And Habakkuk was saying, Lord, don't you realize the covenant you've made with us? Don't you realize who we are? Don't you realize who the Babylonians are? And yet God said, I'm God and I will do as I please. And he was going to use those people to judge them. It would be much like in our day and time. You know, we have America was founded as a Christian nation and founded on biblical principles. And it's not near what it used to be, but nonetheless, still the best place, in my opinion, to live. But what if God was to tell us, I'm going to use the Muslims to judge America? Somewhat what Habakkuk was experiencing there. And then you have John the Baptist there in that dungeon in Matthew 11. And he was so perplexed. Here it is, the Bible says of John the Baptist that not a greater man born of a woman than John the Baptist. He knew the Lord, the one that leaned on the Lord, walked with the Lord, and yet he found himself in that dungeon. And you know what John says in the dungeon? He sent a messenger to see if Jesus was the Messiah or if they should look for another. He was so perplexed he didn't even know if he was the Messiah. And then I think of the Apostle Paul there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He said, we're perplexed. We're driven to and fro. But not in despair. He was not backslidden, you know. So if we're plunged into a time of darkness, doesn't necessarily mean that we have sinned or that we're out of the will of God. It can, and that should be the first place we look. But it may be that God is going to teach us a lesson that we can learn in no other way other than being in those situations that we're in. So remember, some of those that are of the deepest devotion will suffer the deepest darkness. But number two, the faith that is born in the light is often developed in the dark. Often it is in the dark times of our life that our faith grows the most. You think about that. You know, somebody said faith is like film. It is developed in the dark. And that's kind of a statement that goes by the wayside in our day and time. We have phones and all these other digital formats to take pictures, but many of you here remember the old days when you would take a 35 millimeter camera and you would have to take the pictures and it would come out dark, and as you would shake it over a little time, you'd start to see the picture come into form, or even film that was in rolls. What happens? You take that to a place and they would develop it. So although it was taken in the light, you have to have a flash to take that picture. It's developed in a dark room. And you know, sometimes the Lord teaches us some things in the light when times are good, when things are going okay, that we're going to need for the difficult times, for the dark times. Three examples of those whose faith was developed in the dark. Three different Johns are on my mind. John Milton, when he experienced physical blindness, wrote a book called Paradise Lost. It was one of the greatest books ever written. And then I think of John Bunyan, while imprisoned for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, not for a crime, not for breaking the law, but for preaching the gospel, was imprisoned and wrote a book called Pilgrim's Progress, the second most published book in history, next to what? To the King James Bible. But it wasn't in the beds of ease or in the good times that he wrote this. It was in a prison cell, dark, lonely, cold prison cell that he did that. And then I think of John, while exiled there to the island of Patmos, and wrote the book of Revelation for you and I. And a lot of your New Testament wasn't written from a study room. It wasn't written from a pastor's study or from a church pew or an office. It was written from a prison cell. In the difficult times, these things were written. So the test of our character is what we do in the dark. You know, the test of who we are is not who we are in the light, but who we are in the dark. You can claim to be a Christian. I can claim to be a Christian right now. And that's very easy, isn't it? Sitting here in a church pew with like-minded people, people that believe like we do, is for the most part, it's easy. But what about those Christians in China or in these third world countries that it may cost them their life for professing the name of Jesus Christ as their Savior? See, it's not in the light that our character is revealed, but in the darkness. You know, we are who we are. Our character is what we do in the darkness. There's a difference in reputation and character. Reputation is what others think about you. Character is what God knows about us. You know, I can have a good reputation amongst you all, and we should have. But more importantly than a good reputation amongst men and others is who we are before God. Because I may fool you, you may fool me, but none of us will fool the Lord. The Lord knows who you are. You may be a professing Christian here tonight. You may be here and say that you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you may know the right things to say. You may know the right doctrines. You may know the right way to do that. But it's not a reality in your life. He is not real in your life. It is just a religion to you. And the Lord knows that. So that reputation of being a Christian will do you no good one day when you stand before the Lord if you don't know Him. So how does God develop our faith in darkness? Look again in verse 10 and verse 11 there. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of His servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Notice the latter part here. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay on His God. God develops our faith by us trusting in Him, by us looking to Him. And He also develops our faith when we stay on Him or when we lean on Him. That word stay is translated over in Psalms 23. Turn with me to Psalms 23, a familiar passage. We hear often quoted at funerals. Familiar passage to most here. But two ways that God develops our faith. Number one, when we look to Him by trusting in Him. But number two, when we stay upon Him or lean upon Him. Psalms 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." Notice in those first three verses, David is talking about the Lord. But you'll notice in verse 4, he starts to talk to the Lord. He goes from talking about Him to talking to Him. It says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? "For Thou art with me." So instead of talking about the Lord, he's talking to the Lord. Said, "Hey, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, though I may be faced with death, I will not fear no evil. I will not be afraid." Why? "Because You are with me." He says, "I will fear no evil. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." That word staff there is the same word that was translated in the New Testament we just read in Isaiah, or in, over there in the Isaiah, Old Testament, in Isaiah chapter 50, to stay. As that shepherd would stay upon that staff, to lean upon that staff, that's what we're to do on the Lord in the difficult times. That's how God strengthens our faith. You know, sometimes God will take every crutch away from us to where we have nowhere to lean but to Him. So we will lean upon Him, to trust in Him. And you see David doing just that. He, you know, he's not only talking about the Lord, but he's talking to the Lord. And so it's not just knowing about God, but it is knowing Him personally that makes the difference. Job, after going through all that he went through, we mentioned him earlier. He learned a difficult lesson. He was, you know, and throughout the book, you see Job asking God why, asking Him questions. But you know what Job learned by the end of the book? He learned that a relationship with the Lord was more important than a reason. You know, it does us no good if God was to tell us every reason and every circumstance and everything that would happen. So He won't do that, but it would do us no good. It may profit us a little in some of those things. But no matter what circumstances you go through, no matter if you don't know anything about what's going on, there's a peace, there's a comfort, and it does us a great good to know that God is there. So we need not know why, how, when, but we need to know that the Lord is there. And we need to be walking with the Lord when these dark times come. Job learned that relationship was more important than a reason. And he said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in Him." Can we say that this evening? And thirdly, some things are seen in the dark that cannot be seen in the light. There are some things that we can't understand, but only by darkness. Think about it. Let me ask you a question. The stars, are they in the sky right now as we speak? They are. But you can't see them. Why? Because of the light. And if it was always light, we'd never know that the stars existed. We couldn't see them. But when do we see the stars? At night. And then sometimes in our lives, you know what has to happen? Some dark times, difficult times have to come in order for us to see the light, in order for us to see those things that are hidden otherwise. Stars can only be seen at night. There are treasures in the darkness. Look back in Isaiah chapter 45. Verse number 3. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. You know, sometimes the Lord will take us into a dark place to where we have nothing but Him, and we find out that that's all we need and that that is enough. Sometimes we could learn the lesson no other way than going through those difficult times. And they're not pleasant to go through. But you know, once you went through them and came out on the other side, you can learn some lessons. And there's an appreciation even for those difficult times in our lives. In the light, we can see things which are near. But in the dark, we can see that which is far away. As I said, you know, in the light right here, we can see one another. I can see this pulpit. You can see things that are directly imminent to you. But we can't see the stars that are off in the distance. But in the night, we can. And you know, sometimes we get so busy, get so many things wrapped up in living a life here and making a life that we forget to make a living with the Lord. And we forget who God is. And God has to take some of those things from us in order for us to seek Him and seek His face. We can't see those things many times. But fourthly, it is better for you and I to be leaning on God in the darkness than to be standing alone in our own man-made light. That's what he warns about here. Look in verse 11 of our text. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire and can pass yourself about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand. Ye shall lie down in sorrow. You know, it's better to be walking in the valley with God than to walking on the mountaintop without the Lord. It's better to be in the center of God's will and be in the most dangerous, most difficult place this world has to offer, rather than to be in the most comfortable, most safest place and out of the will of God for a child of God. I took peace in that the last time I was in Afghanistan there, 2008, 2009. I knew the Lord was calling me to pastor a church there in Richmond. And I knew that beyond a shadow of a doubt. And you know, I went over there and I knew somehow, some way I was going to make it back. I didn't know all the ins and outs of that. But I had a peace about me. Why? Because I knew I was where I was supposed to be. Although I was in a combat zone, being shot at, vehicle being blown up, I knew where I was supposed to be. And I knew that God had a purpose for me to pastor a church when I come home. Now, I won't tell you that that wasn't shaken at times, you know. You look around and I found, you know, around in my flak vest, I have some injuries to my arm here from that. But, you know, I didn't know if it would be in a wheelchair or what it may be. But I knew somehow, some way that I would pastor that church because I knew that I was in the will of God. And I took peace in that. And that's what he warns about, you know. One of the dangers of difficult times of darkness, none of us like darkness, especially a little kid. We don't like it. What's the first thing you do when you go in a room that's dark? Look for the light switch or look for a light. You know what? Spiritually speaking, we do the same thing. And I would caution you and caution myself, when we go through difficult times, when hard times come, whatever it may be, whether it's nationally, whether it's individually, church-wide, familial, however it may be that those moments of darkness, those difficult times come, careful about trying to find your own way out of that. Careful about trying to light your own fire. The Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is what? Death. Not what? To thine own understanding, but in all thy ways trust in the Lord. The Lord said here to them, behold ye that kindle a fire, that can pass yourself about with sparks. Walk in the light of your fire, in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. He said, hey, if you try to make your own way out of the darkness, you know what's going to happen? You're going to lie down in sorrow. You know, darkness doesn't chase away light, does it? Light chases away darkness. In order for darkness to prevail, what has to happen to light? It has to be removed. Well, guess who is the light of the world? Jesus Christ. Guess who's in control of everything that's going on? Jesus Christ. And so if you're walking in the will of God as a Christian, you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and you're walking in the paths that you know He would have for you to walk, and dark times come, don't try to make your own way out of that. Just ask the Lord to direct your paths as you go through it, that He's in control of it, that He is the one that has removed that light, or else darkness couldn't come. Because darkness can't prevail over light, just as Satan can't prevail over the Lord. But that man-made fire is deceptive. I think of some examples from Scripture of people that tried to light their own fire and suffered a great deal of sorrow in doing so. Remember a man by the name of Abraham? What did the Lord promise him to be? The father of many nations, correct? When things were going well, him and Sarah's marriage was healthy. They were still at the age of childbearing, the Lord promised him that he would have the descendants as the sand of the sea. And he trusted the Lord. And the Bible says that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. But what happened? Some time came and went. They started to get a little older. Started to think, you know, maybe we need to help God along here. And remember, Abraham went into Hagar, thought he was doing the will of God and in, you know, producing those descendants that God had promised. And what come from that relationship? Was it not Ishmael? And a great deal of sorrow come from that. Still today, those people are fighting one another over there. Isaac was the seed of the promise. Abraham tried to light his own fire. And, you know, we look at all the sorrow, all the things that came from that relationship. But think about the father and the mother there and those children having to cast out the child of the bond woman. But also Moses. The Bible calls Moses maybe the meekest man besides our Lord to ever walk. And God told Moses to lead the children of Israel through the desert. Or to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. And what happened to Moses? Remember those two men got in a fight and Moses stepped in and murdered the Egyptian? And because of that, what happened to Moses? 40 years on the backside of the wilderness, on the backside of the desert, because of trying to light his own fire, trying to make his own way. And then you remember Peter there, when the Lord told the disciples, hey, I'm going to be going to the cross. And remember, Peter said, you know, was quick to speak and said, Lord, we'll follow you anywhere. We'll do whatever. And you remember, they came and Peter drew his sword and cut off Malchus's ear. And what do you read shortly thereafter in that narrative? You find Peter where? Rejoicing with the Lord? No, weeping bitterly in sorrow because he had tried to take matters into his own hands. The Lord said, I must go to the cross. I must go this way. And Peter said, out of a zeal, out of a love for the Lord. It wasn't a negative thing that Peter, that why he did that. It was for his love for the Lord and this and that that he did that. And yet, it wasn't God's way. And what came from that? He lied down in sorrow, weeping bitterly because of that. And lastly, if your sun has set, or seems to have set, if you seem to be in a period of darkness, it will rise again. Now, it may be here on this earth, and it may not. But when the morning comes, when you've gone through that dark night of the soul, there's a better day coming. When you go through the darkness and come out on the other side, we can learn things that we never knew before. You know, you can learn a lot about God, and we should. Don't get me wrong here. Please hear me out. It is our duty, our responsibility, should be our pleasure to study the Scripture, to pray, to really get in this book and seek every bit of knowledge that we can get. And you know, you can gain much knowledge of the Lord from doing so. But you know how you really get to know who the Lord is? By obeying Him and spending time with Him and walking with the Lord. You know, Job knew much about who God was. Read the book there. But you know what? He knew a lot about God, but Job learned a lot of who God was by spending time with Him, by going through what he went through. And sometimes we have to go through difficult times. And you know what it does? It teaches us who God is. God will never leave us. God will never forsake us. God will never fail us. Although it may seem that way at times, although others will fail you, others may leave you, the Lord never will. And I think about, you know, just some of the moments of darkness in my life. And you know, when you're going through them, all you want is that pain to stop. You want the hurt to go away. But I look back at those days now, you know, and I don't desire to go back to them. But I learned a great deal, and you know, God was more real to me in those moments than some of the moments I've spent in church. Through those dark times, those difficult times, you can learn who God is. And God will be there when no one else is. But behold ye that kindle a fire. Be careful about trying to make your own way out of things. I've done that. You know, we try to take something that we want and make it what God wants when we know it doesn't fit. You know what the end result of that is? Sorrow. A lot of heartbreak. A lot of grief. Look with me in Psalms. Two passages in Psalms and we'll close. Psalms 112. Psalms 112. Verse number 4. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. Who is the upright? Is that not the saved? Is that not the Christians? See, the lost don't have this promise. You're here and you're lost this evening. I can't promise you that the sun will ever rise on your life again. But for the saved, I can do that not because I've said so, but because the Word of God has said so. And if it's not here, it's in glory with Him when we see the Son Himself. And look with me lastly in chapter 30 of Psalms, verse number 5. Chapter 30, verse number 5. For His anger endureth but a moment. In His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. You're here. You're going through difficult times. It may seem like that this night will never end for you. But I can promise you, if you're here and you're a child of God, that joy does come in the morning. That there will be. This too shall pass. And like I said, if that's not here, that's when the Lord takes us out of here. But if you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord, you know what will happen if you try to light your own fire? If you try to make your own way unto Him? If you try to do it any other way outside of what Jesus Christ has revealed in the Scripture, and that salvation is only through Him, by grace and faith alone in Jesus Christ, no other way. You can't put enough money in the offering plate. You can't be baptized enough. You can't go to church enough. You can't be a good enough person. There's nothing you can do to earn your way to heaven. If you try that, you will lie down in sorrow for eternity in the pits of hell. The only way that you can have joy in the morning and be assured of that is to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone. And if you will do that, you don't have to do anything else. He will save you as He has promised in the Scripture. Father in heaven, thank You for Your Word, for the comfort it brings to our lives. Lord, I pray, as I look out on this congregation, there's some even here this evening that are hurting. There's some that have lost loved ones. And Lord, I know that it may seem like that pain will never stop. And although it may never fully stop, life does get better. And that You have promised joy in the morning, that You are from everlasting to everlasting, and You will never leave us nor forsake us. And I pray that You would wrap Your arms around those that are here this evening, that are Your children, that are hurting, that are walking in a moment of darkness. And Lord, that we would seek You in those moments of darkness, but not only in the difficult times, but in the good times, that we would seek You in Your face. And it would be Your presence and You alone that we would seek more than anything else. Not the blessings of God, not the dainties of this world, not anything that You could give us, but God Himself. And I thank You for those that are here, those that are lost in the mist, until they've made things right with You. Lord, thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy to us. In Jesus' name I pray. And amen.
Brother Josh, for that message from the Word of the Lord. The Lord has convicted you of your sin, and you know Him not as personal Lord and Savior. You never made a public profession of faith. We give a hymn of invitation.